Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Well, we're in session 31, oh my gosh, of the Greatest Commandment series. Today's session is entitled Loving God with All Our Speech. Now, I know that loving God with all our speech didn't make the short list of love the Lord your God with all your hearts and mind and strength. But as we've been looking at it, the big picture of what the greatest commandment is all about isn't so much about your heart or your soul. It's about loving the Lord with all of our lives. And the subject of our speech is such a big one. And the word talks a lot about how we can love him with all of our speech. And so this morning, that's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about it. And I'll just tell you right now, if you listen, you will leave convicted. Because this is just a toughie. This is like, but I think it'll be conviction that will be so sweet. It's a conviction that will be helpful, that will actually enable us to love God better. You know, for me, I don't want to just hear or preach what our itching ears want to hear. I want to grow in God. I myself want to. I want for us as a congregation to. And so this morning, I think, is going to be some probably the most practical stuff we've talked about yet in relationship to how do we love God. And it's loving him with all of our speech. So first, let's get some perspective on how God sees our speech. And we'll read some words of Jesus, Matthew 12, 34 through, it's probably 36, something like that. Matthew 12, 34 and following says this, "For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." This is Jesus talking. "A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they've spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." Oh my gosh, this is so intense. Oh, I'm just like terrified just reading it. I'm going to point out a couple of things here. I don't know if you noticed it. He said, you're going to have to give an account on the day of judgment, not just for every bad word. He said every empty word, every word that wasn't helpful. There was nothing to it. It was just meaningless. It's like, not just bad words, empty words. Oh my gosh, Lord, you got to help us. This is going to be such a hard morning. Like, we're going to talk about this for 35 minutes. This is going to be intense. Well, it's going to be intense. I'll just warn you. He says, by your words. And you just know Jesus is like, he's trying to make such a mark. He's trying to make it clear. The Father is paying close attention to how you talk. He's paying closer attention than you think he is. He's paying closer attention than you want him to be. And whether you like it or not, doesn't matter, because he's paying close attention to every empty word. By your words, you will be acquitted. By your words, you'll be condemned. Jesus, this is so intense. I just look at it and go, we need to go on a journey. And I think it's going to be a journey. I don't think it's at a moment's notice, we pivot on a dime and we're all okay tomorrow. I think this is going to be a journey, and I've seen it in my own life. But we want to go on the journey of getting the perspective about our speech the way that God sees it. That we would start to think about when stuff comes out of our mouth, is the stuff coming out of my mouth showing I'm a good man with good stuff stored up in there? Or I'm a bad man with bad stuff stored up in there? Or lady. I mean, I wouldn't be a lady, but you could be a lady. But bad stuff or good stuff? Because it says the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Now, part of the reason that this is so important is it connects back to that whole message that we did on love the Lord your God with all of your heart. Well, one of the ways you can test what's in your heart is what comes out of your mouth. And I think most of us do pretty good when it's our birthday and everything's going our way. I wonder how we do when it's their birthday and things are most definitely not going our way. That's really when you want to test what comes out of your mouthies, okay? And that's how we know what's really in there, because again, we can all put enough crutches underneath us that we can stand up and look good, but God says, no, I see. He says, and I'm going to test every empty word. Oh my gosh, this is so intense. Okay, well, let's look at how God feels about perverse speech. Look at this, Proverbs 8:13. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior and perverse speech. The Lord says, I want you to understand something. I love you, but when perverse things come out of your mouth, I hate that. I stand in as strong opposition against that as you can imagine. It's not a nice, you know, light deal. I really, really stand strongly against perverse speech. Lord, help us. Good news. The Lord wants to help us. So look at this. 1 Corinthians 1:5. For in him you have been enriched in every way. In him. Through Christ, by the Holy Spirit indwelling, through him, you have been enriched in every way. Okay, good, good. What are some of those ways? With all kinds of speech and knowledge. The Holy Spirit actually helps us by conviction, by giving us right words from the Word of God, by giving us parameters. Do you know that the lost world doesn't care what the Bible says? Even the churchgoer that doesn't know God doesn't really care what the Bible says. But you who have the Holy Spirit inside of you, you care what the Bible says. You have been enriched in every way that you might even have enriched speech, that you might be able to speak and use your mouth. And out of the overflow of your heart with Jesus living in there, you might have an overflow of enriched speech. I just want to tap into more of that. Anything you see in the Word, you can ask for more of it. Go, Lord, I want more of that. I want more enriched speech. Help me. I don't want perverse speech. Help me never say anything like that. Instead, help me to have enriched speech. Well, we know the commitment What word am I looking for? Commendation? I don't know. Paul said something to Timothy. That's what I'm trying to say. Paul said something. That's what I'm trying to communicate. Exhortational work. We'll go with that. Thank you. Ding, ding, ding for the man on the front row. So, Paul gave Timothy an exhortation about how to lead well, okay? And one of the things that he said, you guys know the verse, 1 Timothy 4:12, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. Set an example for the believers in speech. I think it's interesting that that was the first one he said. He then goes on and lists some other things, but he says, Timothy, it's important that you understand as a leader, the most important way to lead out and set an example, it starts with your talk, with what comes out of your mouth. It's a really big deal. You know, we live in a culture where speech is not bridled much at all. Kind of like not at all. In fact, I can remember being lost and being on the other side and loving to press the envelope of evil speech. I remember loving that idea. And it was so, you know, like, press the envelope, cause a problem, start a fire, because our tongues are powerful and we can accomplish good and evil with what we speak. He says, I want for you to set an example for everyone with the way that you talk. Speak in such a way that you wouldn't mind being repeated. Speak in such a way that the way you carry yourself would actually call others higher in the way that they talk. Set an example in your speech. Pretty intense. Well, let's look at that verse about power in the tongue, Proverbs 18:21. I'm reading out of the New King James. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. I was thinking about this, and if you just read that verse by itself, at least in my experience, it's a little difficult to picture how actual death or actual life is happening. It almost seems like an exaggeration if you're just reading that one verse. But man, when you do a whole session on talking about speech and what happens when we say good stuff and what happens when we say bad stuff. We are actually imparting. There is power. God has given us power that when we speak, and you could even take that beyond, you know, verbal. When you communicate, whether it's written or sign language or, you know, on the internet, when you communicate, there's power in it. And that power can either be used for good or for evil. Decide what superhero you will be. Here's the gist of today, what I'm really hoping to accomplish. I want us to walk away today recognizing that we have the power to express love for God every time we talk. Every time we open our mouths, God designed humanity in such a way that we get the opportunity to express love through speech all day, every day, unless you happen to live on a desert island. We are, the way that life works is we get stuff done by human communication. I mean, again, verbal or nonverbal. The way that everything happens in our society requires talk, requires communication, requires speech. And we've got the opportunity to express love to God anytime we open our mouths and speak. And that's what I'm willing to look at today. I want us to go, Lord, we want to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and speech. We want to love you with how we talk. We want to bridle our tongue. We want to get a revelation that you care about what comes out of our mouths and that we actually have the ability to say, I love you, by what we're careful to say and not say in a daily way. The reason I said this will be the most practical session, more than likely, you're going to say hundreds or thousands or hundreds of thousands of words this week. And all of them are an opportunity to show him love. I don't know that you're going to do anything but breathe that much this week. So love him with all your breathe, too. Figure out how to do that. But you're going to say a lot of words. You're going to say a ton of them. And they can be either an expression of love to him or the other thing. Or just be empty. But remember, Jesus said we're going to have to give an account for that, too. Empty words, just words that just didn't mean anything. There was nothing behind them. Oh. Like I said, this is going to be a convicting one this morning. Let's look at Luke 6:15, Psalm 45, and Matthew 12 again. Out of the overflow of the heart. That's what we want to look at. We want to talk about what's in the heart and what's overflowing. It's a gauge of really who we are. I think it's a good measure that we want to not ignore, and we want to pay attention to. Again, our culture, and I even think there's a lot even within our Christian culture that is so dismissive of our speech. It's like, it doesn't really matter. God doesn't really care about that. And I don't think anybody would say that. I don't know any preacher that would get up on a microphone and says, God doesn't care about what you say. I don't know anybody like that. There might be somebody. But I think it's just in the water. It's just so much permissiveness. Just, that was said. Oh, that was out of a line. That was totally not okay. And it's just so, we're just so used to it that it even comes out of our own mouths. And because we're not checking each other, because there's not that level of brotherly love for one another to go, dude, no. Like, don't say that. He's watching. He's watching us right now. Like, don't talk like that. What are you doing? I actually think we could do ourselves a lot of good by sweetly figuring out how to help each other in this area and not let so much unpermissible things come out of our mouths. He says this, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart, for out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. It's an overflow. It's stuff that's in there coming out. It's an indicator of what's really going on the inside. Psalm 45 says, my heart is overflowing with a good theme. I recite my composition concerning the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. This is the other side of it. This is, my heart is overflowing. It's overflowing with good words, with noble themes about who God is, with thanksgiving, with all the works of the Lord in my life. He says, my heart is overflowing and it's coming out of my mouth. See, there's something about this that our heart and our mouths are connected. Look at Matthew 12, 34. You brood of vipers, how can you say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Just, I want us connecting that our mouths and our hearts are connected. And as we assess what comes out of our mouths, we go, that's a reflection, says Jesus. Who's Brad? Brad's nobody. Who cares about what Brad says? Jesus says, what comes out of your mouth is a reflection. It's an overflow of what's in your heart. So what comes out of your mouth really, really matters. And it really is an indicator. And Jesus said this in Matthew 15. He said, we can actually become worse off than if we said nothing, if we say something that's not helpful. Look what he says. What goes into someone's mouth does not defile them. Defile's like a really bad word. Like, that's a yucky word. Defile. Ooh, I don't want that. It says, well, good news. Eat whatever you want. It's not going to defile you. It might cause you some stomach problems. But it won't. But it won't defile you. But what comes out of their mouth is what defiles them. See, your words, they're not harmless. Your words are not neutral. What comes out of your mouth can actually make you worse off today. You can wind up worse off today if you don't guard what comes out of your mouth. That's interesting because there's this connection. And remember, we're on a journey here, so I don't think anybody's either all the way this way or all the way this way. We're all in the middle with a struggle, okay? But this connection point is, what comes out of the mouth is an indication of what's in the heart, but then there's a warning. Just look, if it's in your heart, at least don't say it. Like, if it's in your heart, don't just voice that, because then it'll defile you double. It was in you, but now it's coming out of your mouth. It's actually worse for you that you said it aloud. Now you're double defiled, because it was already in you or it wouldn't have come out of your mouth, but now that it's come out of your mouth, it defiles you. It makes you worse. We have got to start guarding our mouths. We got to be careful. This is a love God issue. This isn't like a be a good Christian. This is a love God issue because notice it's all connected to the heart, mouth and heart, mouth and heart. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, but what comes out of your mouth can defile your heart. See, this matters. This is all greatest commandment stuff. Proverbs 30 and James 4 talks about one of those forms of defilement. Slander, speaking ill of another person. And you know what? I doubt there's too many people, especially us, who speak bad about another person for just the sake of it. We're speaking bad about another person for a motive. There's a motive in there. We're mad. We're sad. We're trying to get their position. There's some motive, and it's like, yeah, that's actually what's connected to that slander. The slander is connected to all sorts of evil in your heart. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Ooh, there's all these motives and stuff. We want to be careful. We do not want to slander. Look what it says, Proverbs 30. Do not slander a servant to their master. James 4, brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Don't speak ill of another. Oh my gosh. But we live in a culture where it's like the normalest thing ever to say bad stuff about people. That person is dot, 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 exclamation point, and some of those other little figures. Like, we live in a culture where slander is so normal. I just think it's likely it comes out of our mouths and we don't even think about it, because it's so normalized. Now, maybe we've gotten rid of some of those four-letter words, like some of the big expletives. Maybe we've gotten rid of some of those out of our vocabulary. But slander, oh my gosh, it defiles us. Look, I'm trying to love God. I think you are too. I mean, you wouldn't keep coming to sermons about the same thing over and over if you weren't, okay? We're trying to love God. The last thing we want to do is put a giant hurdle in our way that makes it harder for us to love God because we're defiling ourselves on purpose. You know? It's the one that's like, it says, I know how I'm going to get in shape. I'm going to eat nothing but ice cream. It's like, that's probably not going to work. I wish. I've tried that diet. It's not been effective for me. You can't just say, I want to love God with all my heart and then defile yourself all day by words that come out of your mouth. Yeah, but they really did. Maybe they really did. Maybe they're everything you're thinking and more. Just don't say it. Don't say it. And then work on your heart to forgive them so that you wouldn't harbor that against them. Don't slander. Instead, let's speak blessings. Romans 12, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. You know, the ones that have caused you the greatest amount of hardship, you need to be practicing, like, for real, speaking blessings over their life and not cursing them. Not in private and not with another person. You'll defile yourself. I'm just using Bible words here. You'll be worse off. You will love God less. You're all like, I'm going to love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, and strength. And yet each day you will be loving him less because of words coming out of your mouth. We want to bless and not curse. 1 Corinthians 4:13, when we are slandered, when someone else does the thing they're not supposed to do, we answer kindly. Titus 3, be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and always to be gentle towards one another. We don't respond with slander, we respond instead speaking blessings and kindness. But I'll just tell you this, just as a very normal human being, when someone does me wrong, it's gonna take everything in me not to punch. It's gonna take everything in me not to lash out and give them a double of what they gave me, because I am so much more important than they are. I've got so much pride that I think that I have a right to make it happen double to them. It's pride, it's arrogance, it's defiled spirit. It's like, oh my gosh, Lord, we are so bad. Like, it's so bad. It's so bad. Help us. This area of speech, it's a big one. Look at this though. Oh, Colossians 4. This ought to be our aim. This ought to be what we're trying to do. What if our whole daily life, what if all our interactions, what if our aim related to all the talking we do, those hundreds of thousands of words that come out of our mouths, some of us more than others, what if the aim was to let our conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that we may know how to answer everyone? What if we set our desire on, when I talk, I want to be filled with grace. Talk to a friend, an enemy, a neighbor, a kid, a coworker, a spouse. I want my conversation, I want my speech to be seasoned with salt. I want to add something to the conversation that's of value. I want to add something to the person that's beneficial. I want to strengthen and help. I want for what I talk about to actually move the kingdom of God forward. If bad speech defiles me, then I want the opposite because it'll unfile me. Like I want good stuff. I don't want to say defiled stuff. I want to say stuff that builds me up and them up and circumstances up and the church up and the kingdom up. You can set yourself to have your conversations always be filled with grace and seasoned with salt. That's a pretty awesome picture. That's a great way to approach talk. You just go, hey, why aren't you saying nothing today? It's gonna be a tough one to say anything nice, so I'm gonna say nothing at all. Like, if I open my mouth, I want it to be a conversation seasoned with salt. Right now, I'm thinking pretty salty thoughts. So I'm not going to open my mouth. It's better to not open your mouth at all and be thought wise than open your mouth and remove all doubt that you are a fool. Just keep your yap shut. What if our aim was the way I want to live my life, the way I want to be known, the way I want to converse all the time, where it's so rare that I do the other thing, Where the normal is, my conversation is filled with grace. It's seasoned with things of the kingdom, with truth and love, and oh, that's good stuff right there. This is good. Well, I think we got to take some ownership. John says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. That's just real. John writing epistles to the churches, he says, if we claim to be without sin, and let's talk about this speech thing, if you claim you don't have any sin in your speech, you a liar, and there ain't no truth in there. Instead, let's own it. Let's just fess up. Let's own it and go, Lord, I'm really struggling with the area of my speech. There's stuff I say that's really not good. There's stuff I say that's not, certainly not seasoned with salt. Let's just own it. This is the beauty of belonging to Jesus. We can get every sin forgiven. Like, we just go, Lord, I did it. I said it. I'm not going to claim I'm without sin. I'm with sin. Hi, my name's Brad. I'm with sin. And he's like, okay, well, good. Now that we're on the same page, because I was already thinking that. Now that we're on the same page, forgiveness abounds, my friend. Let's just not deny it. Instead, let's go on the journey to fix it. Now, I want to give you just a little bit about my journey with this one. Like I told you, before I came to know the Lord, the area of my speech was probably the worst. I mean, I was clever with how wicked I would figure out how to communicate. I mean, I was intentional to speak in very defiled ways. So I came to know Jesus, and it was like every other week, I was hearing another whole category of stuff I was saying that wasn't good. It was like, oh my gosh, oh, really? I can't say that, dang it. This is gonna be a real trial. And I went on the journey. I can remember coming to the realization that my speech was really not reflecting love for God. And what was the case with me, and I think might be the case with many of you, it's gonna come in waves, the revelation. Because honestly, if he told you everything today, you'd just be a pile of mud on the floor. You'd be of no use to anybody. We wouldn't be able to even haul you out of here. You would just be feeling the weight of all of it and just not be any good to anybody. I think what he does, and I know what he did this with me, there would be moments like this where I'm hearing a message about speech or reading a Bible verse about it or whatever, and the Holy Spirit would start to kind of put his finger on things. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray in Jesus' name, put your finger on things. Put them on me. Put your finger on areas of my speech and areas of speech in everybody in this room in Jesus' name. Start to put his finger on things in your life, and it's an area to get started. It's the next step. It's this next season to work that thing out with fear and trembling. It's the next season. And then what I found is, as time goes on, he's after more. He wants it all. He's such a ball hog. He wants the whole me. He will not be satisfied with anything less than all of me. He wants all of me. He wants all my speech. What I found is there's different moments where then there'll be another wave of revelation. It's like, hey, actually, here's a whole nother area you need to be thinking about related to loving me with your speech. And then time goes on and there's another. This is an onion that's got layers. This is kindness, though. Look at this. This is such a great verse to help us. This is, again, out of the New King James. 1 Corinthians 10:23. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. I like that relationship to our speech. I can say a lot of things, but not all of them are helpful. And not all of them edify a person. But for us to shoot for that and go, what if I started to think about loving God moment to moment, conversation to conversation? And I started thinking about, I have the opportunity to love God here by saying edifying words. I have the opportunity to love God by not just saying whatever I have permission to say, trying to say things that will actually build up, actually strengthen, actually help. I can remember thinking about that and going, oh my gosh, the gap is so big. I'm over here, and there is a chasm from here to way over there. I was the rich young ruler to Lazarus saying, just come help me. Like, man, there's a big old chasm. I thought, man, well, we better get started because we got some work to do here. Lord, help me with the area of my speech. I'll tell you this. If you'll get serious about this and you'll ask the Lord to help you with the area of your speech, he'll help you. He will. And I want to tell you this too. I just want to be real kind. If you don't care, you're going to have to give an account for every empty word you speak. And that day is going to be, it's going to be real challenging. Because you're going to see every word you said with complete clarity from heaven's perspective. And there's going to be so much remorsing. There's going to be so much loss that could have been had. I'm not talking about going to heaven, going to hell. I'm talking about in heaven, you talking to Jesus and him talking to you about every empty word. Remember, those were Jesus' words. He's talking to his disciples. He's talking to his guys. Says, you're going to, you have to give account. Well, what we want to do is we want to speak truthfully. Look at this 2 Corinthians 6. As servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in purity, understanding, patience, kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in sincere love, and in truthful speech. We want to be those that are so confident about the way that we talk that we could know that we speak not just good words, we speak truth. Let me just throw this one out at you as a little challenge point. Try to say only what is true. I've been finding this lately. This has been an area that I feel like the Lord's been touching me on because there's been so much in the news. There's been so much, and it's like, I don't want to repeat something that might not be true. I want to speak only what is truthful. I want to be a true witness. And there's been an area I've been feeling like, ooh, you know what? I don't even know that that should be repeated. I don't even know that I want to say that. I want to be one that's reliable as a truth teller. This is an area of speech. Some common areas where we say defiled things. I'm just going to kind of hurt us all here. Words spoken in pride. Words spoken with a complaining tone. Slander. Words spoken with ingratitude. Not being grateful. Words spoken that are not grateful. Showing ingratitude in the way that we speak. See, these things, they're defiling us. But think about the other side of it. What if we spoke in humility? What if we spoke in thanksgiving? What if we spoke and instead of ingratitude, we were with thanksgiving and gratitude towards the Lord? See, these things, it's the undefiled. It's the stuff that builds up. It's the stuff that strengthens. You go to bed better off that day. See, these are the things. Entitlement. Words spoken in judgment, words spoken in worry. He says, don't worry. Coarse joking. I'll even go into inappropriate flirting. Words, interactions, lies, deception. This is a heavy one today because all of us in the room, somewhere on this list, we're struggling. We got some issues. Listen, that's okay. Let's just not stay there. Let's not be like one that looks in the mirror and then walks away and forgets what we look like. Let's hear today's message and go, all right, Lord, have your way with me. Help me with my speech. Help me work on it. I just want to make it really clear about complaining because I think it's so normal in our culture. Complaining is evil. It's not permissible. We do it so much. We as a culture, it's just so normal to complain. But look what the word says about complaining. Numbers 1, now the people complained about their hardships in the hearing of the Lord, and when he heard them, his anger was aroused. Anger at complaining. That's complaining towards the Lord, really. James 5:9 says, don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you'll be judged. That's complaining against people. Philippians 2:14 says, do everything without complaining or arguing. That's complaining about life. Complaining about life, complaining about people, complaining about God. There's no place for it. We got to start looking at a complaining tone, at a complaining statement. We got to look at that as bad instead of totally permissible. That's not really that big a deal. The other guy complains more than me. He's going to have to give twice as much of an account for the words he spoke. That's not good for you. Don't measure yourself against the other guy. So what? So he's got problems too. Man, we can't have complaining. See, here's the gist of it. Our words, hear me. Our words either enhance or diminish our love for God. The reason I said this is like the most practical one out of the whole series, I just can't think of anything that we have the opportunity to express and put into action every minute, every hour at least. How are we talking? Am I diminishing love by what I'm communicating? Or am I enhancing love by what I'm communicating? By the way that I deal with people, by the way that I interact, by what I say, by what I don't say. It's all about love. We want to stay pure in what we say. Give you some final parting words here. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up." What if we made that commitment? Well, but I really want to say that. Is it going to build others up? No. It's going to tear them down. Probably toss it. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Instead, only what's helpful for others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. What if we made the commitment? I'm only going to say stuff that at least has the potential to benefit those that are listening. What if I'm only going to say stuff that's going to help them, better them, strengthen them, make the circumstance better, add to it, season with salt? What if I'm not going to complain? I'm not going to let any unwholesome talk. I'm not going to let any of that stuff, defilement, coarse joking, I'm not going to let it come out of my mouth. Because I want to express love to God. Because I want to grow in love for God. And out of the overflow of what's in my heart, the mouth speaks, "Oh God, help change what's in the water in my heart. God, help change what's in my heart." Ephesians 5 says, "Among you, there must not be any obscenity." That's cussing. "Foolish talk or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving." Peter said this. He said, "Whoever would love life and see good days, they must keep their tongue from evil, and they must keep their lips from deceitful speech." I want to love life and see good days. This is a mystery, but there's power in the tongue. And Peter's speaking here about your life. He says, "I know your life, and I can help you. Do you want to see good days? Do you want to live a good life? Do you want to love the life that you have? You need to guard your tongue. You need to keep your tongue from evil, the long list of evil. You need to not say deceitful things. You need to say true things. You need to make what comes out of your mouth intentional, loving, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy, uplifting, strengthening." I want to live there. I want to be surrounded by that and do that. I want to be one that does that. I want to have you do that to me. What? That just sounds like euphoria. A place where all that is going. Well, as we leave with James today, worship team, you can come on up. We leave with James. He says, James 3:1, "If anyone is never at fault in what he says," never? Never? "If anyone's never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check." See, I think this actually ought to be our goal. I mean, maybe we fall short, but let's aim for it. Let's be a perfect man or woman. How do we be a perfect man or woman? We're careful with what comes out of our mouth. There's just stuff we don't say. We're just like, "I'm never saying that. And if I do say it, I'm going to call it sin and repent of it instead of celebrate it or try to get, you know, a social media following about it. Like, I am not going to say this stuff. There's stuff I'm going to be intentional to start saying. I used to think some of the things that are so normal to come out of my mouth now, I used to think they were the cheesiest things ever. And I guess they could be said with insincerity and be cheesy. But I just remember going, "Man, there's some stuff I want to make sure I start saying. There's stuff I want coming out of my mouth. There's stuff because I want to season with salt. I want to make impact with how I communicate. I want to say stuff that's life-giving." If anyone's never at fault in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to keep his whole body, his whole life, his whole whatever in check. I think this one's our goal.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.